This is Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. CPR's election coverage, Colorado Votes, continues today with the fight to control the state legislature. These can be extremely tight races. 2 years ago, Republicans took over the Colorado House with a seat they won by fewer than 200 votes. Redistricting is also intensifying races this year, which is why some Coloradans are inundated with ads for these state-level candidates. Ernest Lunny is tracking the most competitive races for the Colorado Statesman newspaper. He says both parties are determined to control the state house in 2013.
Well, the Republicans control the house by a one-vote margin, and both Republicans and Democrats are confident that they're going to wield the speaker's gavel after the November election. Republicans think that they're going to expand their majority, and the Democrats are pretty confident that they're going to take a 1-2-3, even a 4-seat majority in the House.
What about the Senate?
The Senate is more likely to stay in Democratic hands after this election. It's got staggered 4-year terms, so not all the seats are up for election. And the Democrats control the Senate by 5 seats, so the Republicans have a steeper hill to climb. There's 4 seats basically around the state that are real toss-ups in the Senate, and the Republicans would have to win every one of those in order to take the Senate.
What I love about the House side is that both parties are confident that they will prove victorious, and of course one of them will be wrong. Do you have anything else to add about...
Well, the Republicans took control of the House in the 2010 elections by winning a seat up in Arvada by 197 votes. So not only do they have just a single vote majority, they won that majority by the slimmest of margins.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that race, because isn't that another one of the contested races this year in the House?
It's a close race. Robert Ramirez, the Republican, he's in the fight of his life. Tracy Craft Tharp is the Democrat who's running up there. And that seat's going to be one of maybe a dozen or so that we're saying are really going to come down to the wire on election night.
At the end of the reapportionment process, so the redrawing of state House and Senate lines,
right,
the Colorado Supreme Court sided with a map drawn up by Democrats. Now, does that mean that there are just a bunch of changes in favor of the Democrats, or are we looking at districts where Democratic incumbents are in trouble?
Well, it really did redraw the map around the entire state. The Democrats believe that this map is more favorable toward Democrats because it creates a whole lot more competitive seats, which means neither party has more than a 5-point advantage.
That is to say, it transferred some seats that Democrats didn't stand a chance in under the old map?
It did that, but, you know, the state has changed considerably in the last 10 years. Demographically, voting groups that tend to vote with Democrats are increasing in population in the state, and part of what this map does is reflect that.
When it comes to reapportionment, is there a district you'd point to that most radically changed in terms of its complexion or its competitiveness?
There's House District 3, which was a safe Democratic seat in South Denver, represented by Democrat Daniel Kagan, and that's turned into one of the most competitive districts in the state. It lost all of the heavily Democratic Denver precincts and is now entirely in Arapahoe County, including parts of Greenwood Village, Cherry Hills Village, Littleton. And Republican Brian Watson, incidentally, has raised more money than any other candidate in the state. And he's turned that into probably one of the most competitive state legislative races. This is one that we're going to be up late on election night waiting to see what happens.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and as part of Colorado Votes, our election coverage, we're taking a look at state legislative races. Joining us from the Colorado Statesman is Ernest Lunning, who's been writing really monthly on the most competitive legislative races in Colorado. What are the issues driving some of these races?
Well, the Republicans are looking at it through a lens that in some ways mirrors the national discussion. They're talking about taxes, spending, and regulation and saying that that's what's keeping businesses from creating jobs. Democrats are taking kind of a different tack, and they're saying that the issue that voters are most concerned with is education spending, and that making Colorado an attractive place for businesses to locate and to feel like they can expand is a better issue that answers questions that voters have about job creation.
Ernest, lift the veil a little bit on your reporting for us. How do you decide, or what is the measure of competitive races?
Well, you can look at the spending that's going on in the districts. where they're getting 2, 3, maybe 4 pieces of mail a day this month. And, you know, those mailings cost a lot of money. You can track it through outside spending groups that are supporting Democrats or Republicans at the legislative level. There's also plenty of spending on cable TV ads this cycle, a lot more than there was last time earlier in the election season. And that'll tell you pretty much which districts the Republicans are targeting and which ones the Democrats are targeting.
I gather that a lot of the ads you're talking about, you've seen on your own TV set.
Actually, yeah, I live in a part of Lakewood that overlaps with a number of these more competitive races. And I see ads running against Republican Rick Enstrom and his Democratic opponent, the incumbent state rep, Max Tyler, on an hourly basis on cable TV. These things are running all the time. There's also plenty of ads running against Republican Ken Summers, who is running for a state Senate seat against Democrat Andy Kerr. And I'll tell you, none of these candidates are going to be lacking for name identification by the time voters start casting their ballots.
I guess they buy cable because you can be a little more pinpointing than if you buy broadcast TV.
Yeah, none of the legislators buy broadcast because that's just very expensive. You have to get the entire Denver market. But cable, you can buy down to the zip code.
Now, do you use voter registration and the trends there, the gains there, as a way of judging competitiveness?
We do, and that's changed over the year. The Republicans had significant advantages in a number of these districts. There are districts that had Democratic incumbents who looked vulnerable. But now that we're 9, 10 months into the year following voter registration drives, for Democrats, they've closed the gap that Republicans had. And it looks like Republicans aren't going into the election with as big of an advantage as they had at the beginning of the year.
Well, after all of the dust has settled, one thing we'll know is that about a third of the legislature will be freshmen. What kind of an effect does that turnover have?
The reason that that's happening is because a bunch of incumbents were paired together under the new reapportionment maps. So either had to run against each other, run for other seats. Some of them stepped aside, and some of them were in primaries where only one survived. There's also the effects of term limits, and there's also a few legislators who are running for higher office, who are running for Congress. All that taken together means that we're going to be looking at a legislature with less experience and more fresh faces than we've seen in decades, if ever.
Thank you so much, Ernest, for being with us.
Sure, Ryan.
We talked about state House and Senate races with Ernest Lunning of the Colorado Statesman newspaper. We'll talk about the issues each party would like to pursue if it has control Thursday with Megan Verlee, who covers the state capitol for us. This is all part of Colorado Votes, CPR's election coverage.